This is the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, high school science and chemistry teacher and author of the award-winning book, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode on the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, as always, Richard James Rogers. Today, I'd like to talk about a teacher's staple, an everyday activity that teachers are doing all around the world all the time, and that is slide presentations and the key mistakes that teachers are making with slide presentations. And by the way, I have made all of these mistakes myself, so I really am an expert on all of these. Before I get into the mistakes though, let's just talk about why slide presentations are still so popular today in 2023. And the simple answer is that they are just the best system for delivering information to a large group of people. I remember making PowerPoints way back when I was 15 years old on 486 and 586 computers. Maybe some of my listeners can remember those days in the early 2000s and late 1990s. And still to this day, slides, PowerPoints, Google Slides are the most popular medium of delivering content to groups of people, whether it's in business, whether it's at seminars, workshops, CPD, or lessons to our students. They've stood the test of time, and I think that they are here to stay for quite some time into the future as well. Some of you may remember Prezi's. They were kind of like a one-hit wonder that came and went very quickly. They were a non-linear style of presentation. And I think essentially they failed because it was very difficult to put lots of content into them. And they just weren't very user-friendly. And they weren't easy to share with students as well. And that's why linear presentation systems like PowerPoint, like Google Slides, are still so very popular even today in 2023 as I record this. However, there are some key mistakes that teachers everywhere are making with slide presentations. So let me go through a few ideas that I've written down here. The first big mistake is getting students to copy everything from slides. That to me is a defensive form of teaching. I can understand why some teachers feel like they want to do that, particularly with students where there's a lot of low-level disruption or behavior management is an issue, but that is not how we should be using slide presentations. I understand that oftentimes there's a lot of content for students to get through, but what I have found when I get students to write everything down from a slide, it takes a long, long time. It really slows down the pace. If I do that continuously, I find that I'm behind schedule very quickly. And I learned in the early days of my teaching career that it's much better, if possible, to either print the slides for the students or share them in some way, for example, through their VLE like Google Classroom, Firefly, Moodle, ClassDojo, etc. It's much better to give the students access to the slides in some way and get them to make extra notes as you go through them. Now, one thing that I really like to do, and I got this from university when I was at Bangor University in the UK. Shout out to my North Wales fan club over in Bangor and Flint and the whole region there. And what happened was my lecturer for one of my modules She printed the PowerPoints for the class, but she left blank spaces in the different sentences. And what that did was it forced the whole class to focus on the lesson, because if we didn't, we couldn't fill in the blank spaces and we would go away with incomplete notes. And it was very effective. So essentially what happened was she printed slides for us that had blank spaces in, but her slides that she shown us on the projector were complete slides. They didn't have blank spaces. And I've done this quite a few times with my advanced learners, those IB and A-level students, and it proves to be a very good way to get those students focused. And, you know, sometimes there's a lot of content to go through, and sometimes the best way to deliver that content is through a slide presentation. So making the students annotate their slides in some way, for example, by leaving blank spaces, I think is a great idea. And it, again, it saves the students having to write everything down, which just really, really slows down the pace of the lesson and limits how much you can get through in the time that you have. And time is so crucial with those exam level students. So that's the first thing. Do not get the students to copy everything. The second thing is lack of interactivity. All too often we are presenting slides that contain lots of content, but not enough quizzes or questions or worked examples or things for the students to do within the PPTs themselves. Good activities to include in your slides are fill in the blanks are very good, connecting boxes. So you might have four boxes with questions on the left and four boxes with answers on the right, and the students have to connect them to each other. Calculation questions, if you're teaching a mathematical subject, and of course, past paper and exam style questions for the students to do within the slides along the way. Very, very helpful. And again, if you've printed the slides for the students or you've shared the slides in some way with the students, you can make sure that the student copies don't have the model answers and only have the questions. And that way the students have to try the questions that you're presenting to them in class. And then of course, as good educators, we should go through those model answers and really explain the steps involved in those model answers very, very clearly. So lack of interactivity is another major mistake that teachers are making with slide presentations. Another mistake, again, I see this all the time, is too much text within the slides. Now, I will admit that this is a challenging problem to overcome, especially when you have, again, exam level students and they have so much content to get through in such a small amount of time. But where possible, the text on our slides should be big enough for the students to read. And oftentimes when there's too much text on the slides, the students can't even read it. And there shouldn't be, my personal opinion, there shouldn't be more than two or three sentences per slide. Again, I realize that's not always achievable, especially with those really high level classes, university level or pre-university. But where possible, it's better to have, for example, three slides with three sentences on each slide than to have one slide with nine sentences. It can be very overwhelming when there's too much text on a slide. The fourth thing that is an issue is that too many teachers, and again, I've done this before, are not annotating the slides along the way. Now, I will admit you need technology to do this. I'm very lucky. I teach in a classroom with a smart board, so I can annotate my slides with the pen that comes with the smart board along the way. And I can circle key words, I can add little notes, and then the students can add those notes to their printed copy or to the copy that's on their personal devices. Where possible, try to annotate the slides along the way. If you're using a projector-based system and you don't have a smart board, perhaps you can think of connecting the slides to a Google Meet or to a Zoom call through your iPad or your sketchpad, and then sketching and writing on the slides along the way. And there are sketch pads out there which are not very expensive and are designed exactly for this purpose. Failing that, you can always use the mouse to highlight keywords at the very least, and add some text box comments along the way. That does take time, and I do admit that that is technology dependent, but where possible, if you have access to the technology, annotate the slides along the way where if you can. I've already mentioned text being too small. That was the fifth mistake I was going to mention today. Too many teachers are presenting slides with text that is very difficult to read, especially for students at the back of the class, and especially for students who have sight problems, who are short-sighted or far-sighted. And you know something, everybody? Don't forget as well about the image and personal image issues that many teenage students have. And you know, there's a lot of teenage students who don't like wearing glasses, and they are very image conscious. And I was certainly one of those students when I was a teenager, and even in those early days at university. And I would sit in class without my glasses on because I wanted to look cool, which of course was stupid. And I could not see the text on the slides. Now, that was my fault. It wasn't the teacher's fault. But if you do have students in the class who do have problems with their vision, problems with their sight, first of all, make sure they're wearing their glasses and their eyewear. And of course, secondly, make sure that the text on your slides is readable and it's big enough and it's in a font that's readable as well. Avoid brush script, of course. Brush script is very difficult to read. Calibri is a very good font. Comic Sans is a very, very good font to use as well. The next thing that is a big mistake and a big trap that students, that teachers fall into is formatting the slides. This can be a particular problem when you've got an old version of a PowerPoint or some slide system, and it's been a few years since you've presented it, and your computer has updated with the latest software, and all of a sudden your slide presentation is not compatible with the new update. And this is a particular problem for things like arrows and diagrams. You'll often find if you don't check the slides beforehand, your arrows might be out of place, or your diagrams might be misplaced, or some special symbols like mathematical symbols or symbols related to your subject might not display properly on the slides. So check the formatting very carefully. Don't assume that just because you've used a slide presentation in the past and it's worked well, that it will work today. You may have a computer you're using that belongs to school that's recently been updated, and there could be issues with compatibility. The next thing, of course, this is an obvious one, I hope, reading from the slide. Wow, this is a big one. When I first started teaching all those years ago, this was a big issue for me, reading from the slide. When you get students to make their own slides, you'll find that they often read from the slides as well, which is a big, big issue. So try your best not to read from the slides. The biggest way to avoid that is to go through the slides yourself before you actually present them to the class, so that you're clear about the subject content. And also, use the slides as a prompt for your own descriptions. So oftentimes when I'm presenting really complex content, for example, to my to my IB mathematics students. I'll look at the slide very quickly. I'll see a keyword or some prompt on there, and then I'll look back at the students and I'll describe the concept or the content without looking at the slide. The students do not want you to read from the slide. They can read. We need to be explaining the content and describing the content on the slides in a more child-friendly fashion, in more everyday language, in our own way, so that it becomes clear to the students. The only exception to that is if you have key sentences or key words and key vocabulary that the students must know for their exam. Now, in that case, if you do have key words, key vocabulary, key phrases, I always, and I think this is a great idea, get your students to repeat those key words, those key phrases, those key sentences, and to highlight them in their notes. So for example, a key word might be decapitation, for example, if it's a history lesson, or it might be glacier if it's a geography lesson. And I would say, everybody say glacier, and everyone says glacier. Everyone say glaciation, and everyone says glaciation. Whatever the key word is, get your students to repeat them, embolden them, emphasize them, write them down if possible. Okay, the final things is sourcing from the internet without checking. Of course, there's loads of good PPTs on the internet, but always check them before you deliver them to your students. Not sharing slides with your students. Always do that in advance of the lesson if you can, either via a learning management system or a VLE like Google Classroom, or printing them. But you've got to share the slides somehow with your students. Even almost 20 years ago when I was at university, my lecturers were sharing slides with students. And really, that's everything, everybody. So I do hope that was helpful. If you do have any questions for me, or any topic requests, you can email me at info@richardjamesrogers.com. Once again, that's info@richardjamesrogers.com. And until next time, maybe check out my award-winning book for teachers, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management, 45 Secrets That All High School Teachers Need to Know. And that's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and basically everywhere. And a link to that book's Amazon page is in the show notes. So thank you so much, everybody. Really, really nice talking to you today. I hope that this podcast episode was clear. I have to head off now as I've got something urgent I have to do. So until next time, everybody, bye-bye for now.